one of the first thoughts that came to me when I read these marvelous little parables, this parable of the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. Anyway, what came to me was that this gospel would be a very good gospel for yesterday's saint, St. Peter Chrysologus, because Chrysologus means golden word, and talking about a treasure, talking about gold, talking about the preciousness of the Word of God. So that would have been a great gospel for yesterday. And yesterday's gospel would be a great gospel for today's saint, today's St. Ignatius of Loyola, whom we honor as the master of spiritual discernment. And yesterday's gospel was about the weeds in the field and sorting out the weeds and the wheat. But as it is, the liturgy gave us that parable yesterday, and today we have the parables of the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. These are all sections of this discourse of parables in Matthew chapter 13. I love these parables. They're short, but they convey such richness. I can pick out three things right away. First of all, the value of the kingdom of God, the preciousness. Secondly, the cost. And then third, the joy that goes along with finding and possessing this treasure. So the value. We're talking about a treasure. We're talking about the most valuable treasure. I can't help but mention some of the insights that go along with the current controversy about the Olympics opening ceremony. I don't know if anyone's paying any attention, but there's a lot of backlash to having a blasphemous display, a parody of the Last Supper, as part of the opening ceremonies. I know tomorrow we're going to have our Mass of Reparation and our Holy Hour of Reparation for that event, so I don't want to dwell on it now, but one of the things that strikes me in light of this parable of the treasure is that the reaction now, the blasphemy was put on display, then people started to say, this is not appropriate, this should not be done, this is offensive, this is an insult, this is a scandal, this is a blasphemy. And lots of different people, especially Christians, but even non-Christians, realize that there's something you just shouldn't do, and this is one of them. Anyway, then there's the counter-reaction, people defending this display, and they're saying things like, well, you Christians, you get offended at everything, you get mad about everything, why are you making a big deal out of this? I mean, don't you understand culture? Don't you understand art? Don't you understand French, display and fashion and all these things? As if to say, the problem is you, Christians. It's not what we did, but your thin skin and your judgment. You're not even acting like Christians. That's kind of the pushback. Well, what do you say about that? You're implying that nothing is of such value that we should defend it. That nothing is so precious, that everything is fair game for mockery. And that is not what we believe. We hold that there are some things that are so precious that we would sell everything else just to have them. And that's what the parable says, right? The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. It's such a treasure that we will do everything to find it, to possess it, and to defend it. So don't touch this treasure. That's the Christian reaction, right? Don't touch this treasure. I mean, you can insult my baseball team or my favorite actor or whoever. There's a lot of things we can disagree about. Those are just other jewels in the pile. But they're not the most precious thing in my life. But if you're going to touch something precious, you're going to get a reaction from me. And that's right. I've told this story before, but it comes back to mind. When I was in high school, I had a teacher. I went to an all-boys high school, so there were a lot of fights. And, get boys together, there's going to be fights. And I had a teacher who said, there should be more fights. There should be more fights. How come there's not more fights? I remember it because it's such a strange thing to say. But his point was, the way you high school kids talk to each other, there should be some stronger reaction. And his main point wasn't you should punch everybody who insults you, but in English, you know, some of the worst insults are insults to your mother. You know that. The curse words are often actually insults against your mother. So if you want to really offend someone, you insult his mother. And the teacher's point was, you don't have to defend yourself, but don't you even defend your own mother? I mean, someone accuses your mother of being an immoral woman, you're not even going to defend her? Like, that was his point. And I think he made a good point there. There are some things that you should not tolerate. Mockery of Jesus Christ is one of them. Taking or disvaluing the treasure is one of them. So here, this is the main point. The first point I want to make about these parables is that we're talking about something supremely valuable, more precious than gold. That's why yesterday, when talking about Peter Chrysologus, it wasn't that he had money to give, he had the word, which was gold. Chrysologus, golden word. That's what our faith is. That's what our relationship with God is. That's what our participation in the church is. That's what the sacraments are. We're talking about something really valuable, really precious, more precious than anything else. Okay, so that's the first of the 3 points, the value. Secondly, the cost. If something is of value, you have to be willing to sacrifice other things in order to treasure it. In the parables, in order to get the treasure, the man sells all that he has to buy the field. Now, I don't know if anybody would really do that in when it comes to physical possessions, but in the spiritual life, that's right. That's absolutely right. Everything else is put on second place, including very valuable things. Family, right? Close friends, relationships, status. Yes, the kingdom of God is worth more than everything else. And that's the cost, that's the sacrifice. It does demand sacrifice to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself makes that very clear many times. It's not easy because it's costly. Sell all that you have in order to get it. You see this in the lives of the saints all the time. In fact, every saint abandons everything but the will of God. Sometimes it's dramatic, like, you know, giving up all your money. But it's always a giving up of yourself, giving up of your plans and of your expectations of your culture and your family. Yeah. The will of God, the relationship with God, is put first. Okay, and then the third thing that stands out here, especially in the case of the treasure, is the joy that goes along with possessing it. There is a joy in being a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is deeper than the pain of the cost and the sacrifice. Pope Francis is one of the best spokesmen for this truth of our faith. You know, some of his early documents say, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel. Early in his pontificate, he kept saying, you Christians, if your face looks like you're in Lent all the time, well, there's something wrong with your faith. Is if there's nothing that gives you joy, well, then that means you're missing the very heart of the faith. We should have the joy of a person who has found the most precious treasure and possesses it. Well, it doesn't mean that we're laughing about everything or everything's a joke, but there is a joy that comes with having this treasure, and that joy cannot be taken away, even by suffering, by sacrifice. Okay, so but I think that's what makes these parables very beautiful. Now, when we turn to to the prophet Jeremiah, as I said yesterday, Jeremiah is the best complainer in the Bible. And yesterday he was complaining about the Lord. Now he's complaining about his own sufferings, as he does in several places in his book. But it's not It's not just that he's a negative person. He really is suffering. I mean, he's suffering greatly because he's striving to be faithful to his vocation as a prophet. And that's what he's saying here. I'm not doing anything wrong here, but I'm getting treated like I'm the worst person in the world. He mentions his joy, stands out in the early part of this reading, after saying I'm being treated like an enemy. But he says, talking to the Lord, when I found your words, I devoured them. They became my joy and the happiness of my heart. Isn't that a great description of what the parable says? When I found your word, when I found the treasure buried in a field, I devoured it. Okay, I took it. I grabbed it. And that became the joy and happiness of my heart. So Jeremiah is expressing the very thing that Jesus is saying in the parable. But along with that joy comes the price, the giving up of everything else in order to possess it. And that's what is so painful to Jeremiah and to us. I mean, this is our experience, that being a faithful follower of Jesus is costly. And it does bring about division, even with people whom we love. It does set us up for rejection. It does. It's painful. It's very troubling. And that controversy about the opening ceremony is another one. As soon as you stand up for what you believe in, somebody's going to mock you. Make it seem as if you're the one with the problem. That's what happens to Jeremiah. And he's saying, well, listen, this is your fault, God. I'm faithful to your word, and you're not being faithful to your promise. You're not taking my side. And then that's when the Lord corrects Jeremiah. No, wait a minute. You're going too far now. It's one thing to say you're delighted in finding the Lord, or finding the word. It's another thing to say that it's a painful experience to be rejected for being a faithful prophet. It's another thing, those two are okay. That's the real experience. But it's a step too far to say, God, you're not being faithful. No, that's not true. And this is why the Lord says to Jeremiah, if you repent so that I restore you in my presence, you shall stand. In other words, repent of this exaggerated reaction. I understand that you're sorrowful, that you're grieving, that you feel like your pain is continuous. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't say that you have no joy in my word. You're the one who's saying this became the joy of happiness of your heart. Well, then cling to that. And not to your desire to be accepted by people or to experience consoling emotions, that doesn't go with it. But the Lord renews his promise not to make him feel like he's popular, but to make him strong enough to resist the opposition of his enemies. I'm going to make you a solid wall of brass. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail, for I am with you. I will deliver you. I'm on your side, Jeremiah. Well, that's what we're being taught. We're being offered this treasure, this most precious pearl, the pearl of great price. Our experience of having this gift is joy, a joy that is never erased. It can coexist with lots of pain and sorrow, but it doesn't get erased because it's too precious. So along with that joy comes the cost, but at root there is the conviction that when we welcome the gift of God, God is on our side. This is what he's promised to Jeremiah and to us is, I am with you to deliver you and rescue you. I will free you from the hand of the wicked. I will rescue you from the grasp of the violent. Now, St. Ignatius of Loyola, who's today's saint, was a master at sorting out the joy, the sorrow, the experience of consolation, and desolation. We made a very thorough study of his principles of discernment when we were following those talks of the Pope some months ago. So just bring that back to mind. St. Ignatius is very well aware that the emotions that go along with being a Christian come and go, and some days are better than other days, and some days we're happy, some days we're sad, but we're supposed to sort out what those reactions are, what's going on in our inner life, and what do those reactions mean in relation to our discipleship. They're not just emotions. I mean, they are emotions, but they're also deep movements of the spirit, our spirit, which naturally is attracted to what is true and good, and is repulsed by what is evil and ugly, and that's a way of understanding the will of God for us. Don't do what is evil, because your own inner spirit will rebel. Do what is right, even if it's costly, because that's the most fulfilling inner experience. So I don't want to go into the whole rules of discernment, but since today is the feast of Saint Ignatius, we call to mind the part of the treasure, part of the pearl of great price, is this legacy of the saints who help us understand what this treasure is, how to identify it, and how to live by it.